Stitches.
Cool.
Dorky.
Shalom Aleichem. My name is Rabbi Adam Dubin. Before the beginning, I want to acknowledge, I should say, that as we know, this past Friday was Lag BaOmer, which is always a very uplifting and emotional and spiritual time. This year, unfortunately, as we know, was marred by intense tragedy, by the deaths of 45 individuals, various ages, but relatively young to young men, who went to Meron to visit the kever of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's an experience that I had once many years ago, a very intense, amazing experience. Unfortunately, this year, again, there was the big tragedy where these people, these individuals were lost. And with that in mind, I just want to keep that as a background to say that we never really know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plans are. Things don't always make sense, but that doesn't mean that Hashem isn't in charge just because we don't know his plans and we can't understand the goings on in the world around us. So, thinking about the time of Sfira, which we are in, there are different customs as far as how to observe Sfiras Omer, and the basic minhagim that we're all familiar with. You have those who observe from the beginning of Sfira through Lag BaOmer, those who observe basically from Rosh Chodesh through the end of until Shavuos, with the exception of Lag BaOmer, and those who observe the entire period as with Hanhugi Avelis. And one of the reasons why, as we know, we observe customs of Avelis during the time of Lag BaOmer, during the time of rather Sfiras HaOmer, except for Lag BaOmer, is because of the tragedies that occurred during that time period. We had the deaths of Rabbi Akiva's students until the time of Lag BaOmer. That was when that was joyous. They stopped the negates of the plague stopped. As well, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said that that his Yortzeit should be a day of joy and happiness. But again, the period still is the entire period. There are reasons why we should keep in mind that not everyone, depending even on your own minhag, there are reasons why people observe Hanhugi Avelis during other parts of the Sfira period. And I'm not saying that I have any answers as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to cause this tragedy on such a joyous day to occur, but perhaps also it is a reminder that even though we have intense joy, we are still not where we need to be. The Beis HaMikdash is still not standing, and so we're not. We should never really consider ourselves to be at the end game yet, so to speak, because we're not back in Yerushalayim, all of us, the Beis HaMikdash isn't standing. I also want to say that our learning this evening is once again for the Refuah Shleima of Zev Ben Leah, that's Dr. Zev Zelenko, as well as all the other Chol Yisrael, and I want to make a special mention also without listing names of all those who were injured in the tragedy on Lag BaOmer. This week's Parsha's Behar and Bechukosai, it is, as we know, a double Parsha, and it ends out Sefer Vayikra. Among the things that are mentioned throughout the Parsha, we have Shemitah, we have Yovel, we have the the blessings and the curses, and we have some halachos of Meiser. I wanted to focus a little bit on the concept of one of the klalos. So if we look in the parsha, it's actually in Bukhukosai, it's Perik Chaf Vav Pasuk Yud, sorry, Tes Vav, that's 26:16, Tes Zayin, yes, 26:16, that the pasuk says, Afini Esa Zois Lechem, Vizkarati Alechem, Behala Es Hashachefes, Es Hakadachas, Bechalo Seinaim, Medivo Is Nafish, Zartim Larik, Zarechem, Vachaluhu, Aivechem. And then, I shall, for my part, will do this to you. I will direct upon you confusion, the blister-forming disease, an intense fever that will cause a desperate longing that you should be healed, and people's sorrow at the victim's death. You will sow your seed in vain, and even that which grows, your enemies shall eat. This is, again, one of the curses, the klalos, that are described in Bechukosai. And it involves a progressive illness that culminates in a loss of hope for recovery. And Rashi points out that Shachefes, Kadachas, Melachos, Einayim, and Medivos and Nefesh are advancing stages of the illness. At times a person may be bedridden and infirm, but his flesh is still intact and there are no signs of disease. But not here, as Rashi explains, a Shachefes is wasting away and consuming the flesh. At times, even a person with Shachefes will not suffer so much because he is not afflicted with a fever. Not in this case, according to Rashi, as the Torah then tells us about Kadachas, which is a fever, an intense fever. Sometimes a person could have such an intense burning fever, but he believes that he will survive. And over here, the Torah states that the person will also be afflicted with Halachos Einayim, well, in which he pines to recover, he wishes to recover, and although he believes that he won't. But there's one more stage, and that final stage is the severest of all, and that's the Medivos Nefesh, when a person feels such anguish that he gives up on himself as well. According to Rashi, even worse than being bedridden, wasting away, being racked with fever and giving up hope, is having others give up hope on the patient. Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, Ruach Ish Vayachakel Mechalehu, a man's spirit will sustain him in his illness, teaching us that a positive disposition is critical to recovery. And I can say from a psychological point of view that we do understand our psychology affects our physiology. Our mental state is very important. And when we have a positive outlook, then it will end up to affect positively our recovery. If, chas v'shalom, a person has a negative outlook, then it can lead to a detriment in their progression. Why is it that the Torah makes it seem as though what other people think is even more important? The Talmud Rebbe of Yitzchak Menachem Weinberg in Sichas HaKodesh on B'Kukhosai says, based on Mishlei, the Mishnah rather, Mesechus Yuma, on Daf Yud Ches Amar Aleph, that on the night of Yom Kippur, the Zakenim of the Beis Din would ask the Kohen Gadol to read aloud and review the Psukim from Achrimos, which detail the procedures of the Avodah on Yom Kippur. Perhaps he forgot, or perhaps he never even learned the halachas. And the Gemara then explains that even the best of men are prone to forgetfulness. So it stands to reason that the Kohen would tell the Kohen Gadol to do this chazara. But how can it be that he's never learned the halachas to begin with? After all, he's a Kohen Gadol, and Yom Kippur Avodah is a crucial portion of his job. Would we possibly appoint a person who doesn't even have the chachma, the wisdom, or the training in this specific area? If anything, argues the Gemara, the Kohen Gadol was expected to be greater than his brothers in strength, beauty, wisdom, and wealth. And in fact, based on the pasuk, we are taught that if he's not wealthy, it's up to the rest of the kohenim to make him so. We learned that in last week's parsha. So how can it be that you have an amar aretz, an unlearned person, can be appointed to be kohen gadol? And the Gemara explains that this only occurred during the Zman of Yishein, the second base of Mikdash, when the office of the Kahuna Gadula was offered for sale as opposed to being appointed in the regular way. So it was bought by unprincipled people who may never have learned the halachas. The Gemara gives an example of a Kohen Gadol whose position was obtained through gifts or bribes of Yeshua ben Gamla. Of course, Yeshua ben Gamla is famous in the Gemara Maseches Bava Basra, that's Chaf Aleph Amar Aleph, as the one who single-handedly saved the Torah from being forgotten by the Bnei Yisrael. Seeing that there were children who had no fathers to teach them Torah, he established what became a yeshiva education system, so to speak, until the day that every town boasted melamzim for students as young as 6 or 7 years old. Who was the true Yeshua ben Gamla? Was he an Am Haaretz, an ignoramus who became a Kohen Gadol through dubious practices, or the one who saved the Torah for Klal Yisrael? Can one person be both? The Ritva Maseches Yuma, Daf Yudches Amar Aleph, writes that although at the time of his initial appointment he was not really worthy of the position and he received it only through bribes, Yeshua ben Gamla later changed into an Ish Kasher, a kosher person, who helped Klal Yisrael in their most significant ways. However, how can someone go from being such an ignorant person of the basic essentials of the laws of being Kohen Gadol to the savior, so to speak, of Torah for all of the Bnei Yisrael? What was the secret of Yeshua ben Gamla's remarkable metamorphosis? So the Kohen Gadol, as we know, was supposed to be greater than his fellow Kohenim in strength, beauty, wisdom, and wealth. And if this was not the case in terms of wealth, then they were given to him of their own resources until he was indeed wealthier than his fellows. The Sfas Emes, also Maseches Yuma Daf Yudches Amar Aleph, suggests that this refers not only to a physical wealth, but also to what we'll call spiritual wealth. The other Kohenim were to channel their strength and their tefillahs toward the goal of making him into the greatest of them all. Perhaps this can also add to the Kohenim treated him with the respect as befitting to be a Kohen Gadol, giving him encouragement and validation of this new position. And you know what happened? He became the Kohen Gadol. Treating Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla as worthy of being the Kohen Gadol reinforced their trust in him, a trust he did not want to break. It was as if he would say to himself, if they're giving me such an honor and expecting such great things from me, how can I let them down? How can I disappoint them? Through the tefillahs and with their encouragement, he rose into the position that he bought into. This same Yeshua ben Gamla went from being an Am Haaretz into one who acquired the office again, via patronage to a person who created Klal Yisrael's public school system, if you will. He saw the power of care, concern, and encouragement, how this power changed the direction of his life, and he set out to do the same for all the other Amaratzim in Klal Yisrael. As the Gemara says, if it was not for Yeshua ben Gamla, the Torah would have been forgotten from the Bnei Yisrael. Such is the power of encouragement. If you treat a person like a melech, like a king, then he's going to act in a royal way. But if you teach somebody, if you belittle someone and treat them like they're worthless, then he will think himself as being worthless. So the Talmud Rebbe uses this idea to answer a question regarding the Eved Ivri, which is the Jewish slave. Many of the halachos regarding the Eved Ivri are repeated in Parshas Bahar, one of which is that Lo Savod Bo Avodis Eved, that you shall not work him with slave labor. And Rashi defines this as demeaning work, which will lead him to look like a slave. For example, he should not be ordered to walk behind his master and carry his master's clothing to the bathhouse or put on his master's shoes for him. In other words, you have to treat him with respect. According to the Sifra, that this halacha applies only to an Eved Ivri, someone sold by Beis Din as an Eved, and not to a free person. Well, I can use someone who works for me to clean my bathroom, to tie my shoes, the work that would otherwise indicate that he is a slave. I cannot demand this from a person who's actually an Eved to perform such demeaning work. Why does an Eved receive better treatment than a regular person who is an employee? Halachas regarding Eved Ivri are the Torah's method of rehabilitation. He was either that he committed a big aveira, or that he was convicted thief and was sold as restitution for his crime, or he was just in such dire straits that he couldn't support himself. He was, in the word, a failure, and he must have thought the worst of himself. In prescribing the 6-year indentured servitude, the Torah hoped that he would gain the good habits and self-respect necessary to return to society as a productive member and to become gainfully employed. Were he to be forced to perform demeaning work, his already negative self-image would only be reinforced. I know that I'm a failure, and everyone sees that as the sad truth. Just as respectful actions by fellow kohenim can turn an Am Haaretz into a kohen who's truly worthy of being a kohen gadol, the respectful treatment of an Eved can help with his rehabilitation and reintroduction as a productive and worthy member of Klal Yisrael. This also explains why the final and worst step in the progression of the Klalos is when others give up hope for a person's recovery. As long as someone's family or friends cheer on a sick person to pull through, their words can have, as I mentioned before, a positive effect on him and his physical condition. Just as the encouraging treatment of Rav Yeshua ben Gamla or as an Eved Ivri can have the profoundest impact on their rehabilitation, the encouragement of a family member saying, "You're going to make it, you're going to pull through, everything's going to be all right," it can also at times lead a sick person's recovery and rehabilitation, as long as the Kodesh Baruch Hu has not yet issued the final decree of death on this individual. So too, a Rebbe or a parent can inspire growth in his words and reassuring words. "You're great, you can do it," thereby bringing him to unimagined heights and achievement. But when the reassuring words of a well-wishers are no longer heard, and the final nail in the coffin of a sick person has struck his mark, and the level of medieval's nefesh has arrived, when even family and friends have given up hope of recovery, the illness becomes the ultimate curse from which there is no reprieve. Even as the saying goes that the pen is mightier than the sword, the spoken word carries even more power. Let us all use that power of speech to have a positive impact on ourselves and on each other. May it be a Kodesh Baruch Hu's will that we look forward with encouragement, we encourage others, we try to be positive role models, but more than, in addition to that, it means saying positive things. And through doing that, may we merit to see the true Geulah Shleima with the coming Mashiach Tzidkenu, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and here we Amenu. I wish everyone a good Shabbos.